listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Okay, with Columbia University totally under siege, the terrorist lovers have taken over a building threatening Jewish students. It's absolutely horrible. What can be done? Perhaps the most knowledgeable man on the topic on this and other law enforcement matters, and this should be a law enforcement matter, is Ray Kelly, the former police commissioner, longest serving police commissioner in history. Happens to be my father. Welcome back, Dad.
Great. Good to be with you.
Hey, were you on the Columbia campus back in the 60s when there was riots and sit-ins and stuff like that?
Yes, I was, but I wasn't on the campus. I was actually out on the traffic detail. I never made it to the campus itself, but I was there for the event. I wish I had a more exciting story to tell you, but that was it.
Why wouldn't they let you inside? Were you not experienced enough?
No. It was just my assignment. You know, I was basically with a class of sort of rookies, and you know, we were all given assignments, and that's what happens. Just like now, if the police are going to be there, they'll have someone on a traffic detail. It has nothing to do with merit. You were just a number.
No, I know, and I know. And you did your job. You did your job. Like Michael Fanone, by the way, the January 6th cop, he blew off his post and just jumped into the riot. It was just a very bad, amateurish, and wrong move. So what do you make of the situation right now? You got a bunch of students. They're yelling and screaming, and they took over a building. What would your advice be if the Columbia University president called you right now? Let's say forget about what you know about the Columbia University president. Let's just say it was an able person who ran the university and said, Commissioner Kelly, what should I do? What would you say?
Well, I would say that you have to consult with the police. You have to be willing to be the complainant as far as, number one, having police come on campus and to support them as far as arrest the concern. You know, there's trespassers obviously involved here, and it's either do it now or do it later. But it looks to me like this definitely is going to be a long-term deal if they don't move in and start arresting these people. I'm convinced also that this is a nationwide conspiracy. Basically, Students for Justice in Palestine, which has 200 college chapters, is the mechanism to get this all coordinated. This didn't happen without some sort of national network that's helping them to spread this. And this is what SJP wants. They are the Students for Justice in Palestine. They've been around since the mid-90s. They changed their name, but they get money. They get money from overseas. A lot of people believe that it's mostly from Saudi Arabia. And, of course, what happens is these Middle Eastern countries give money to the administrations of the schools themselves. So they are kind of giving money to both sides of the, you know, of the issue.
So that group is very active. And what about like tactically taking back the building? Now, you mentioned arrests and they got to start arresting people, but how do you go in there? We have no idea how many people are in there, by the way, but they have enough to take over a building. Let's assume it's a couple of hundred. Like, what do you do there? What would you recommend? Do you turn the lights out? Do you, what do you do?
Well, you may do some of those things depending on how long this goes. But if you remember that you and I spoke about a consent decree that the city foolishly agreed to, which limits what police can do in disorders. And, you know, it was under the guise of protecting First Amendment speech. But the SRG, which is the Strategic Response Group, used to be task forces, but they renamed it. This is a unit that is trained to handle a disorder. The police department, the Mayor Adams, has agreed to significantly limit their deployment. As a matter of fact, the other side on this, which is the Civil Liberties Unit, doesn't even want them to respond to events. This consent decree also limits the number of police officers that you can assigned to a First Amendment event. Which
so
this would be
right. So their hands are
categorized as
their hands are kind of tied. But let me just ask you: forget about the consent decree, which I know it's not. We can't do that, but. Let's just pretend that it was the old-fashioned, you know, straightforward law enforcement, good guys, bad guys, and the cops, their hands weren't tied, and these students were not prepared to leave. Is there any trick? I mean, is it just go in and, you know, arrest people and chase them, or is there any is it more sophisticated than that? How do you take back a building?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh. The joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, first of all, you get the maps of the building, you know, the schematic to find out where all the little rooms and nooks and crannies are. You'll have a unit, probably maybe the emergency service unit, which I was a part of a while ago, to sort of go in first. And you'll have probably arrest teams behind them. The people who are actually going to make the arrest would not be emergency service, but they would be the ones that would open the doors, break down the doors, or any other barricades that they put up. You have to anticipate that they'll barricade themselves and with furniture and tying doors, that sort of thing. And then you move forward and you make arrests and you have probably a arrest processing at an off-campus site. You wouldn't do it there. You'd take it someplace else.
Some other place. Hey, can I make a recommendation?
It doesn't mean anything to me. You can recommend all you want.
Well, what about tear gas? What about hitting them with some tear gas? And let me just, I mean, look, these are young kids. They're going to fight back. Two questions about the tear gas. The cops have gas masks. If they use tear gas, would the cops be okay, or would some seep in and bother them too?
No, the police department hasn't used tear gas in 50 years in New York City.
Oh.
Actually, a fire was started by the use of tear gas in the 70s, and it hasn't been used since. And the NYPD has plenty of personnel. You know, tear gas, the sorts of things are used when you don't have sufficient manpower, sufficient resources, or somebody's barricaded with a heavy weapon. But generally speaking, you wouldn't use it for something like this.
No. Well, there goes that idea. So they just got to go in there room to room. All right. So basically no easy answers here, right? This is one thing I think I remember you saying, though, you wouldn't necessarily rush in. I mean, you have to really evaluate. I think Waco, Texas, if I'm not mistaken, you know, the Branch Davidians, and when they took over that place, they could have waited longer. I believe that you thought it was a good idea to wait longer. Instead, they got, you know, anxious and embarrassed, and then they went in, and a lot of people died. Granted, some of these people were bad people, but it didn't have to be as disastrous as it was.
Yeah, if the police are going to go in, if they're asked to come in by the administration, you want to take the proper amount of time to develop a plan. As I say, to get the schematics of the building, you don't want the protesters now to control the timeline. It should then go to the police. And when they're ready, what do they have, in store? Are there various multiple entrances to the school? They have to be covered. You probably need buses to transport the prisoners. All of that has to be lined up. You just don't rush in.
I have one more idea. What about the sprinkler system? Like in a fire, you know, the sprinkler system comes on. I bet they could turn that on without a fire and everybody gets wet. I mean, seriously, would that be helpful?
No, not particularly. People, like, they see themselves as zealous. I don't think water is going to change it. There's enough manpower available to make the arrests. And, you know, the police department has experience in that regard. As I say, you know, the specialized units like the intelligence division, they should have a lot of information about what's going on, who the leaders are. You would hope that they're monitoring closely what's going on.
Yeah.
The emergency service unit has a lot of sophisticated equipment to open the doors and to, I think to safeguard cops. Don't forget, this does raise the potential for injury to police officers, which is something that, you know, that bothers me.
Right. I mean, that's why I mentioned the water and the tear gas. I mean, it kind of disarms the protesters. I mean, they're going to be the cops. If they got to wrestle all these guys to the ground, they're going to be a lot of broken thumbs and arms and, you know, all kinds of things that could happen to the cops. And maybe even worse. We hope not. You know what I really want? Remember how I was embedded with the 3ID with the Army going into Baghdad, going into Iraq?
Yeah. Right.
I'd love to embed with the emergency service unit when they go in here. Wouldn't that be something?
I'm not going to talk about that. You've talked to the police department about that. But no, I think they know their business. They, some of these things, they practice on a regular basis. So, I don't think it'll be as difficult as you seem to think it will be.
What about dogs? Will they bring dogs in?
No, they won't bring dogs in. Dogs are, dogs are used in a very, very limited situation where you're pursuing someone, and certain dogs that do that. They're basically bomb-sniffing dogs and drug-sniffing dogs, but... No, you would not use dogs.
All right, the cops know what they're doing. My dogs. Silly ideas don't work. No dogs, no tear gas, no sprinkler system, and you got to think through this stuff very, very carefully. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, does it remind you a little bit of Occupy Wall Street? You know, remember that? And you guys, you were there. You cleared those people out like at 3 a.m. or something like that. That was a well-managed operation. They didn't want to leave either, but you got them out of there.
You mean Zuccotti Park?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't expecting it. They had some information about cops shifts, tour shifts, that sort of thing. They thought they were going to outsmart us, but it was very well done because the cops who did the arrest who went in there were not part of the task force that the demonstrators there were monitoring. So they thought as long as they knew where the task force was, nothing would happen. Well, they were wrong. And moved out.
Well, it's amazing stuff. I think we all kind of want to be a cop right now to stick up for our Jewish brothers and sisters and send these terrorist-promoting weirdos home. Expel them. That's up to the university, though, I guess, right? If they're up to me, expel them. Who cares? Who cares if there's no school? I mean, expel them. I don't know.
They do have a pretty robust amount of money and, to fall back on. They're in good shape if they had to close.
If they had to close and have the students who want to obey the rules and not call for the death of other students, you guys can come. And I don't care if it's 10 students and they can get rid of all the faculty, too. There got to be some emergency powers. Remind me, if I ever become a university president, I want all kinds of emergency powers. And wouldn't that be great? Well,
oh boy,
Ray Kelly.
Worry about a lot then.
Everybody gets, I don't know what kind of grader I would be. Well, Ray Kelly, we appreciate it very much. How's mom?
He's great. Always great.
Yeah. We love you.
Terrific.
Thanks, Dad. All right. Bye-bye. And we'll talk later. Ray Kelly, my dad. So proud. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.